Welcome to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast, where three friends are off to steal the Empire's greatest bounty. As always, this is throwing me off. I'm so not used to this. I am your host.
You're doing good. You got the inflections
the,
and everything.
The cool-looking, fur-coated man, Zach.
I am your dirty nerf herder, Zach.
Hey, that is our word.
You could be Woody Harrelson.
Well, I was trying to think. Were you going for Han Solo from the trailer, or
no?
Childish Lambino?
I'm Childish Gamlando.
I thought you were Chewbacca.
Who else wore a fur coat in the movie?
Han Solo wore it in the trailer.
Chewbacca's fur.
Clearly, you didn't watch the trailer.
A lot of people wore fur coats.
Woody Harrelson wore.
I kind of loosely watched it because I'm not expecting much from it.
We'll talk about that later. Also, even though you said right before we hit start that you would do the intro, I picked up my phone to stare at it. I'm like, all right, I'm ready.
We're too inundated with our process at this point.
But you got the reflections. You're right. Steve's right. Good job, dude.
I've listened to it enough to know how it goes.
See, look,
still,
if you did the clip show,
it still throws me the fuck off. Hi.
All right.
So, yeah, Zach and Steve are dying.
Steve less so.
I'm coming back from dying.
He's recovering. Zach is currently dying.
I woke up at 1 in the morning in a cold sweat thinking I had cancer, and I had to shed all my blankets.
That's quite the reaction there.
Shout out to those fevers.
Anytime I think I'm sick, I think it's cancer.
God.
Well, if you ask WebMD, it is.
But you're so sick. You get sick like once a month, I feel.
I think it's just all the stress.
It's stress and you don't give yourself enough breaks.
Also, because of right now, it's cutting season for me. So it's a 6-week rotation of 6 days on at the gym.
Yeah, you're killing yourself at the gym.
In a calorie deficit right now.
Oh, boy.
Which
so
probably isn't great for your immune system.
Yeah,
no, I'm
so
sure it's not.
I was seeking advice, and people are telling me, it's like, yeah, no, you should hit up your calorie marker just so your body has energy to fight everything off. Because lately I've been consuming between like 1,800 to 2,000 calories when, like, to maintain my body weight, I can eat 3,000.
Well, you know what they say. Starve a fever, feed a cold.
Yes.
Starve a fever, feed.
Huh. Starve
never
a fever,
heard that.
You know?
I've never heard this.
Oh, God,
before.
I heard that all the time growing up. You're supposed
never
to,
heard this.
You're supposed to eat when you have a cold so you can keep your immune system going strong. If you have a fever, you kind of want to eat less so it works through your body. It doesn't have anything to
I was just always told, just go friggin' wrap yourself in like 4 blankets. And
I thought you were about
out
to say, go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself.
Have a fever, go fuck yourself.
I was going to chew on a clove of garlic just to work some of the stuff
that's
out.
That's supposed to help too.
Yeah.
I usually eat like a lot of garlic heavy stuff. I'm like,
I usually eat like garbage when I'm sick. So maybe I'll go back to beef. Who knows?
Just eat soup.
I don't like soup.
But soup is so good for you when you're sick.
Anyways, speaking of sick things, the Super Bowl happened, and Rob McElhenney, Caitlin Olsen, and Danny DeVito were all at the game cheering for the Eagles.
Did you see the video I retweeted last night?
No, I didn't. I was
somebody hijacked the sound system and played the Always Sunny theme, and then captioned it with the gang hijacks the PA system when the Eagles win.
We know. Since season 13 hasn't been in development, we do for sure again episode.
Yes, you're now getting the Eagles episode.
Just because it's always a callback. So, like, this is going to be the callback to
the
World
one.
Series.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
So excited. I was hoping for that. Like, if they win, we will. I mean, even if they didn't win, they probably would have done an Eagles episode.
The Eagles blow it at the Super Bowl. Yep. But they didn't. They won.
Fuck you, Brady.
Suck it, Brady.
Is this their first Super Bowl loss as the Patriots?
Oh,
no, they've lost multiple Super Bowls before, but
yeah,
this is the first win for the Eagles, so that's a little more
important.
And we lose, we riot. We win, we riot.
We're joyously rioting.
Our team won. Let's flip a car and destroy a gas station.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much chaos.
They released
the
tapes from Dispatch.
Release the tapes.
For the Philadelphia Police Department. And my God, it sounds like a war was going on in Philadelphia. Like, they played one on the radio this morning of after they flipped the Prius in the middle of the street. It's like, we need more people on the street now. Send backup. My team is cordoning off the car right now,
We
need more people on the street.
Jesus Christ.
Do you think there's like a Klondike bar underneath that car and they really wanted it?
What would you do? Flip this fucking car.
Gah!
All right. So speaking of other things that won at the Super Bowl.
Naturally, at the Super Bowl.
Steve, take it away.
Commercials were kind of lame.
Yeah, I didn't really... I mean, I wasn't even watching the game, but I was just... I had it on the background as I grinded Persona. Or, like, the score in the background and, like, any interesting tweets.
Tide was doing serious damage control. Like, they had...
Didn't they have David Harbour?
Yes. They had David Harbour, and pretty much every Super Bowl ad you would expect, they turn into a Tide pod. Or a Tide ad. So, like... They had an Old Spice commercial where they had the Old Spice guy doing his whole look at me, and then it zoomed out, and there's David Harbour sitting on the horse behind him.
Oh my
God. Like, it's a Tide ad.
That's fucking beautiful.
They started a Budweiser commercial. It's like, it's a Tide ad. And they just went like that all night. Like, they went into the ground like, look, liquid Tide.
Do you think...
It's pretty brilliant, I gotta say. Shout out to the PR team there.
Yeah, do you think they put David Harbour just because he's the ultimate Netflix dad right now?
Probably. He's pretty popular. Hellboy and Netflix dad.
Let's see what else. Oh, Doritos and Mountain Dew teamed up for one of my favorite commercials of Peter Dinklage and Morgan Freeman. Peter Dinklage ate a very hot Dorito and started to spit hot fire by doing Busta Rhymes verse from Look At Me Now.
Oh my God.
Which he did a phenomenal job. And then Morgan Freeman drank some Mountain Dew ice and laid down a cool verse by Missy Elliott from Get Your Freak On.
I approve.
Can't say I enjoy Mountain Dew Ice. It's that yellow number 5 that's missing that really brings the flavor together.
And then the greatest commercial of all time.
Of all time?
Of all time.
It's a pretty bold statement.
Was Eli Manning.
Oh, yes.
Odell Beckham Jr. and 4 other members of the Giants doing the dance scene from Dirty Dancing with the lift and everything. Eli Manning... A dancer he is not, but it was the most beautiful thing ever.
He's got to pick up the slack where Peyton just owns all commercials. He's in.
They did have a Peyton commercial of him at Universal Studios. They made a Megatron joke, as in the football player Megatron.
Didn't he retire too?
He did. Well, they walked by. He's like, I am Megatron. I'm like, didn't you play for the Detroit Lions? Like, ha. Football jokes. There was a player on the Detroit Lions whose nickname was Megatron.
Did he wear like a Decepticon logo on his jersey?
Exactly, no.
No.
They probably
sponsored by Hasbro.
It's not like the Steelers player who's a Dragon Ball Z fan and did the Kamehameha after a touchdown.
But then they showed some movie trailers, movie and TV show trailers.
So we're actually starting at like the bottom of the barrel, working our way up to like the juicy good stuff.
I kind of looked at all of the trailers that were shown. Kind of gauged of like which I thought were the good trailers.
I feel like you listed all of them.
I did. Most. The only two I didn't list were an upcoming High School Musical show on NBC. It looks like it's going to be
on
High School.
NBC of all things?
Yes. It looks like it's going to be like High School Musical / Glee for adults. It looks like Friday Night Lights and High School Musical.
Oh, God.
We have new trash TV.
Had a Glee baby.
We already have trash anime, though.
And we have Riverdale. Do I choose technically, sports?
You could argue most anime is trash, but...
I can already guarantee you I know the plot of it, which is this guy plays football. Everyone expects him to play football, but what he really wants to do is sing. So he tries out for the school play.
It's like Archie
Andrews.
And he's
not very good, but then... Romantic interest number one pops in and teaches him the ways of dance.
I was thinking about this today, talking to my students about Riverdale. Like, season one, Archie, it was like, do I choose football or the singing life? And now season two is like, do I choose the FBI or the mob? And I'm like, how did we jump the shark so badly?
I love that we have different nicknames for the detective. First, it was Detective Twilight Zone.
Because
now
he doesn't blink.
Yeah, now it's Beautiful Mind.
Because he might be a manifestation to Archie Stress.
We still don't know.
Well, whoever he is, he's terrible at being an FBI agent. I don't give a shit if the dad is part of the investigation. You cannot have a minor give you information without the parent's consent. That is so illegal.
And this still brings the theory that he's the manifestation of Archie Stress. Or he's undercover for Hiram to see if he's loyal.
Or third theory, which is mine, the rules of the law don't apply to Riverdale.
They never do.
The sheriff is fucking terrible at his job.
He has a sweet dad bod, though.
He does.
I dream for that body.
Drink that milk.
Drink that milk.
right. So going back to Super Bowl trailers.
As we get off
topic. And literally the only other one I didn't list was The Voice.
Oh, yeah, because...
Yeah.
What season are they on? Like 16 now or something?
But hey, Miley Cyrus is gone and Kelly Clarkson is in.
I thought she was always in.
No. It was...
When did Miley join?
This season.
Oh.
It started Adam Levine, Blake Shelton, Gwen Stefani, CeeLo Green.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking.
And then they started going for a few seasons then. No, not Gwen Stefani, Christina Aguilera.
That's right.
Then they got dropped. Then Gwen Stefani came in. And then Alicia Keys came in. And now Gwen Stefani's gone. Miley Cyrus is gone. Miley Cyrus came in at some point.
Is Pharrell still in there?
No.
Dang.
Yeah, Pharrell came in at one point. Now he's gone too.
He's gone.
They're just kind of cycling through judges, but
yeah.
Blake Shelton and Adam Levine, the ultimate music show bromance, is still there.
We got hologram Adam Levine.
So expensive.
Shout out to Popstar. Anyways.
But yeah, so I kind of went through the list and kind of judged them of like unexpected / good trailers and then the movies that are like, yeah, they exist.
Yeah.
So starting off with Skyscraper.
Does The Rock do everything for money? Like, I need to stay relevant. Movie.
How is he not relevant? He's in everything.
Well,
I just did Jumanji. What next? I honestly thought that the trailer was for a Fast and Furious sequel. And I'm like, wow, they're kept pumping this out fast. And then he put on a prosthetic leg. I'm like, interesting choice, movie. Go on. All right,
what happened?
Okay, not a fast trailer.
See, it's so weird. Because we were singing Moana today in class very terribly, because if you could tell by my voice right now. But it's so weird because one of my students is like, yeah, I'm like Dwayne Johnson. I'm like, you mean The Rock? It's like, yeah, Dwayne Johnson. I'm like,
The Rock.
It's like a generational gap at this point.
Oh, no. Is it happening?
We reached that point.
At the very least, you have to say Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Yes, that's how he was advertised for so long.
He will always be The Rock.
Can you smell what he's cooking?
That movie with Dwayne Johnson,
The Rock.
But
he doesn't own that catchphrase, nor does he own the name The Rock, because that's WWE propriety.
We'll never have a movie where The Rock becomes a chef and then says, can you smell what I'm cooking?
That's actually the High School Musical 4 spinoff.
Mm.
The Rock is leading the next Fast and Furious barbecue at the end of the movie.
Oh my God.
We're family. And Charlize Theron is there with her dreads. And she's like, yeah.
Did she not die?
She died.
Oh.
She died.
She did?
I thought she died.
I really didn't watch that movie. Yeah, no, I thought they
blew up the plane she was in.
I honestly stopped watching when Jason Statham was fighting with the baby carrier.
He made sure the baby didn't see any violence. He's such a good uncle after he tried to kill his dad.
So Skyscraper looks like your generic movie. Maybe it's actually a sequel to freaking San Andreas when they also had to rescue Skyscraper.
Does he lose his leg at the end?
It's all in the same universe, along with Rampage.
The Rock shared universe.
I did find it funny that people were already like, someone screen capped, or they didn't even screen cap, they checked the poster for it. And then it's the Rock. Yeah, it's the Rock jumping, trying to jump into an open window. And he's just like calculating the trajectory. He's like, all right, best case scenario, the Rock is landing just straight down like 20 feet below the window into the glass.
So a lot of people are saying that this is supposed to be like the Rock's version of Die Hard.
Like I said, literally when I watched the trailer, I was waiting for like a Die Hard name to pop. I'm like, so they're rebooting it. But John McClane's an amputee now.
John McClane's going to show
up. It's
an
interesting premise, at least. Like,
yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
An amputee has to actually climb up a fucking building.
Like, they made it a point at the very beginning of the trailer of him putting on the prosthetic leg. They don't point it out the rest of the trailer until the very end. Like, oh, by the way, remember he has a prosthetic leg? And it's a scene with him, a rope wrapped around the leg, and then it's slowly unlocking itself. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's got a prosthetic leg. Neat.
Right. I mean, I'm sure it'll be like a popcorn movie, if anything else.
It's going to be a rock corn movie, if you
rock
will.
Corn. Yes, can we start calling them?
Did I put Mission Impossible on there twice?
Yeah.
Oh, did you?
You put it like twice.
It was in the title, and then I fixed it.
So, yeah, a new Mission Impossible movie.
That fucking theme song just gets me every time. I'm like, I don't really care for these movies too much, but... That fucking theme song, man.
Like, I saw it and was like, okay, Tom Cruise doing a stunt.
Yep. Not as intense as the fucking play.
It's like, fuck, another Mission Impossible.
Well, it's like it's the one song everyone learns in middle school that's like super impressive. So you remember playing it on your horn. It's like, do, 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 do. It's like the nostalgia factor. But can we talk about Henry Cavill's mustache? It's so good.
When you don't, it's not CG'd out.
And the fact, have you noticed that in every action set piece movie Henry Cavill has been in, he's always fighting in a public restroom?
Is he?
The Man from U.N.C.L.E., he's fighting Armie Hammer in the bathroom. Dawn of Justice, he's fighting Batman in the bathroom. And now in Mission Impossible.
In the abandoned building, they go through the bathroom.
And now he's fighting, you know, a bunch of Asian dudes in the bathroom.
No one will ever find him.
But when will this franchise die?
Never.
Never.
As long as Tom Cruise can still do his own stunts, never.
Do you think they're going to give him a box to stand on next to Henry Cavill so it looks like they're equal height?
No, they'll just use force perspective and have him closer to the camera.
Now, how many running scenes do you think we're going to get of him doing his Tom Cruise sprint?
I predict more driving scenes based on the trailer.
Well,
more driving scenes than anything.
I feel like they have to because he broke his ankle doing one of the stunts. The one where he jumps from the building and slams like chest first into the side. He broke his ankle on that stunt. Doing like one of the first takes of that stunt, he broke his ankle. And
I don't know. I
appreciate that he does his own stunts. I think he's a fucking maniac, though.
The man hung from the side of a flying plane.
Yeah.
He's insane.
And now he's on a helicopter.
He killed the Mummy franchise.
Single-handedly.
It was not that bad. Yes, I mean, it was a convoluted plot, but look at the original Brendan Fraser Mummy.
Which was great because it was a comedy.
Look at all of the other Dooku franchise movies.
That don't exist.
That could have existed.
It won't.
Van Helsing. That movie's all kinds of fucked up with the plot.
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
All kinds of fucked up with the plot.
Which they're not going to
bring
back.
You mean The Shape of Water is
meanwhile,
not
Guillermo del Toro's just flipping everyone off. It's like, I did it first.
You could have made
Fish
this
Fishman fucked
the
a girl.
Get on my level.
I'm not really too excited. Like,
I'll watch it when it comes out on DVD, but it's not a theater movie for me. Like, I've seen every other Mission Impossible. Like, for some reason, the terrible action movies are my bread and butter. I can't help but watch them. Fast and Furious, the Die Hards, the Mission Impossible.
Is it kind of like a train crash? You just can't stop yourself.
It's
from
so beautiful.
It?
No, it's not even a train crash. You're on the train. It's just like. You're Liam Neeson in that one movie where you're just on the train witnessing all of these things happen. So the side of you, it's like, yeah, can't stop it. This sucks.
Can't stop, won't stop. Oh, hey, like, look, it's Tom Cruise on the side of the train.
The thing that's like, that bugs me about all the Mission Impossible movies is like, they're literally the same plot every single time. Tom Cruise gets betrayed by someone close to him.
Tom Cruise.
He has to go against them.
Tom Cruise.
Is Jeremy Renner in the Mission Impossible movies?
He was in two of them.
Okay.
But I think he's out on this one. They didn't show him in the trailer, but they still got Simon Pegg.
Like, isn't his wife like the one that betrays him this time or something? I can't even remember the plot anymore.
One of his wives died in Mission Impossible 3.
Yeah.
They'll remind you at some point of like, this wife died. Now we're on this wife. She betrays the team. Fuck.
Speaking of just all the Tom Cruise, there's a Jack Ryan TV show coming out.
With John Krasinski.
Was that
in development
Jack
forever.
Ryan, the original?
No, he wasn't
Tom Cruise, the original Jack Ryan?
No, that was Chris Pine?
No, the original Jack Ryan was Harrison Ford.
No, like the latest reboot.
The latest
that
one
was
Chris Pine.
Yeah, it was Chris Pine.
But like the OG was Harrison Ford. And then it became Ben Affleck for The Sum of All Fears. And then it was still
Aren't
Ben
those
Affleck.
Are, is that
those,
a shared universe?
That's shared with the Bourne universe, right? Or the Bourne trilogy? No.
Jack Ryan's on its own thing. It was a series of John Grisham novels.
Tom Clancy,
damn it.
And the first appearance of Jack Ryan is The Hunt for Red October.
Oh.
And I'm just sitting here, I'm like,
wait,
I keep forgetting
right.
how
Sean Connery was the first Jack Ryan.
I keep forgetting how. No, he wasn't. Also, that was Alec Baldwin. So all the Jack Ryans were Alec Baldwin, Harrison Ford, Ben Affleck, Chris Pine, and John Krasinski.
Wow, I've gone through a lot of them.
I keep forgetting how prolific Tom Clancy was. Like just the amount of stuff
still
he pumped
is.
Out. Yeah.
Well, look at video and now video games
from
just
beyond the grave.
Stuff.
Yeah, like.
Take my shit.
Splinter Cell was originally Tom Clancy.
Ubisoft still owns the titles for those games. Like, they're still allowed to use his name.
I mean, Wildlands, Rainbow Six, still technically Tom Clancy.
Yeah. All these based off of novels he's written.
It's insane. So, that one also looks like a really good popcorn movie. Like, I like...
Series. It's going to be a full-on series.
Oh, right. Just TV show.
Yeah.
So, I think it would be really cool. Like, is it... Like, what's the plot of this? Because I haven't really seen too much.
From what I got in the trailer, it's some deep covert mission. That you think, like, with his qualifications, he should be very underqualified, but fuck it, we're here. Just like when Harrison Ford had to kill Sean Bean.
Oh, shit.
Shout out to Patriot Games.
He is a desk job CIA agent. He's an analyst. And then he has to go save the world because he noticed some interesting bank transfers.
Which is pretty much all of the Jack Ryan movies.
Yeah.
Data nerds.
All right. Cool stuff. What was the next?
Now on to some good stuff.
Well, and I put down a fun fact of the Jack Ryan series is the first Amazon series to actually have a Super Bowl ad.
Is it really? There was never anything?
There was never ever a Amazon
not even
show
Nano High
or
Castle.
Movie
yeah, that's what, I
yeah,
forget that.
Had a Super Bowl ad. So they're going all in on this one.
Like I said, yeah. I think it's going to be cool.
And then Westworld Season 2 came out of nowhere.
What? Oh, God.
You're dying.
Like, they made it look like another
I thought it was supposed to come back in spring.
It is. Coming in April.
Oh, I didn't see the release. The trailer I watched didn't even show, like, when it was coming out.
Yeah, it was mid-2018 was the speculation.
Fuck yes!
So because it's coming earlier than they speculated.
Another year away from Game of Thrones,
I think. 2019. Yeah.
Which they did a really good job of a Super Bowl ad because they did not let on that it was...
Shows enough.
It looked like it was going to be like another Dodge or a Chevy commercial. Gosh. And then it zooms out and the back half of the cow is a robot. And you're like, oh, what now? Go on.
Fucking in Westworld.
And they show all the characters like, and it looked like it's either picking up right at the very, very end, like one-to-one transfer, or it's taking place...
I want to say
10 or 15 minutes because the trailer shows the revolution in progress.
Yeah.
And the revolution has begun.
It shows it like the whole trailer is a monologue by Dolores about pretty much the revolution.
You see May come back. You see, I want to say his fucking Hunger Games name because that's the only one I remember.
PETA?
No, not PETA. Oh, God. What's his? Bernard.
Yeah.
Bernard's back.
Okay. The guy from Always Sunny?
No.
The McBoyle twin?
No.
Well, seeing as we know his story, probably not.
Probably not.
But it looks like it's going to be just as bonkers as season one. Like the end of season one, now that we know everything that's been put in motion.
Yeah, it's like they fucking lit the fuse at the end of season one. It's like, let's fucking go.
It's like, game on.
See, I'm always at work because I'm the... young guy at school with air quotes. I'm the person that kind of makes itself known that he's the big movie buff and knows what's going on in pop culture.
I'm always the comic book movie person.
Yeah.
Like one of my coworkers always asked me, like, you know, you excited for Black Panther or whatever the latest Marvel movie is?
Yeah. So like my principal came in, she was like talking about all these series she's watching. I'm like, do you like Westworld? And she's like, I'm on episode 3. It hasn't hooked me yet. I'm like, you have to go all the way through. You have to go all the way through.
I forget when the hook, like, actually... When's the big reveal?
Is that like 5, I think.
Yeah, it's like 5 or 6.
Because I was the same. I was like, it's just not getting me. Everyone says it's not getting me.
I was like, I like this.
Well, we had to talk you into watching it for a bit.
Well, yeah, because I watched the first episode. I'm like, it's all right. It's okay. And then I started watching more. It's like, they keep saying it's good. I got to keep going. And episode 5, I was like, fuck binge watch.
There's only 8 episodes too for the first season, right?
I thought it was 10.
I think it's 10.
Man, it was 8 or 10.
I think HBO's MO is 10 episodes.
Usually it's 10. Yeah. Sometimes they do 6.
But I'm really excited for that one just because it's something very different from what's going on in normal TV. Because again, we watch absolute garbage trash where we don't have to think like Riverdale,
you're Citrus.
Right, it was 10. God, Citrus.
Cardcaptors.
Such trash.
Cardcaptors is so good right now.
Zach, you don't even know the level of trash.
I watched one episode.
You watched like 2/3 of the episode. You didn't even watch episode 1.
Oh, I think I don't know if I need. Okay, I probably
you don't really need to.
Because I don't they need flash to, back a lot. But I got the gist. I'm like, holy fuck, this is
so. Fun. Like, for those of you that don't know, Steve has a regular show he watches by himself, or a couple series he watches by himself. And then Steve and I have a couple of series we watch together. And then Steve, Zach, and I have one series we all watch together.
Now we technically have two. We have Recreators We're Finishing, and now Darlene and the Franks.
So, like,
just call it Franks.
We're at this point where slowly the Steve anime is also becoming my anime, and then the Steve and Zach anime, we're pulling Zach down with us.
Oh, girl, you don't even know the level of the animes I'm watching. Pretty much
anything. I had time.
Pretty much anything under the winter simuldubs I'm watching.
Are you watching Ballroom anime?
No, Ballroom anime is already over.
Oh, that's on Amazon, too.
Yeah.
I need to finish Garden of Senders. I'm dedicating like all my free time to fucking finishing Persona because I'm like almost done with the last dungeon. Except I'm probably going to have to grind so I don't get my ass whooped in the last boss.
Wait, who's the guy who directs? Who's Jack Ryan?
John Krasinski.
He's also the director for A Quiet Place. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Jim from The Office.
Jim, what have you done?
Oh, he's the bearded guy. In the trailer.
Yeah, duh. You didn't know that was John Krasinski? Yeah.
I never watched The Office.
It's John Krasinski and his wife, Emily Blunt, as the two main parents.
I've never watched The Office for so long.
He's had a beard in like the last four movies he's been in.
So, speaking of The Quiet Place, there's a new trailer I haven't watched yet. I'm the most excited for this movie.
I can't. I'm pumped for this movie.
I'm ready to go because we get more details. Why they're stuck out in the middle of nowhere, why there's these creatures, why they have to be quiet. This shit is post-apocalyptic, y'all.
Of course I kind of figured.
Yeah. It's like, it starts off with Emily Blunt looking at a TV of shit just exploding everywhere, and then the next scene is just everything destroyed, like Last of Us style.
Okay.
Where everything's in shambles, and then it's them. I don't know if they've set up this trail or other people have, but it's like that white trail through the forest.
Right, with the sand.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it kind of shows off more of what's out there, where it could be more than one thing.
It probably is.
Could be multiple of these creatures.
See, I want to so I haven't seen the creature yet, but I almost want to imagine, like, not a big creature, but, like, a swarm coming in at you.
They don't really show the creature. The most they show is, like, shadows, which it looks almost humanoid.
Right.
Not like a giant hulking thing.
Zach just has his no face on.
I literally, like, watching the first trailer, I'm like, I will straight up have an anxiety attack from watching this movie.
I'm imagining, like, bat ninjas. Like, okay. They don't see, they go off sonar, and then they, like, that's ninja Naruto run through the forests.
That's awesome.
I'm just like, it's too tense for me, like, because literally it's just like, oh god, don't hit it. Don't hit the thing. Oh no. Oh fuck, you hit the thing.
You're describing exactly why I loved it so much. It wasn't the jump scares. It was just the buildup of that tension until it just snapped.
Now, the second trailer isn't as terrifying, I want to say, as the other one, because they use more noise through it.
Okay.
They're kind of...
Yeah, that's what destroyed me in the first one, was just that...
It's kind of sound design, the movie.
It's kind of...
The sound design is incredible.
Branching the sound design. I feel like it's only going to be like maybe a third to a half is going to be the quiet that was in like the first trailer. So I think they did a good job of doing like the balance of one trailer is like the quiet, one trailer is like more of the noise of like, you're going to get that balance between the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I'm getting and I'm excited for it now. I'm so pumped, ready to go. Let's do it.
So speaking of which, like, one of my favorite parts of the Cloverfield franchise just transitioning is that they never showed the monster until the very end of that film. And now, During the middle of the Super Bowl.
Throughout the movie, you got like hints of like,
yeah,
what?
You see a tentacle something. Or something.
Or and then you, see, the, you can see like the silhouette.
Or
the
like spawn that go in yeah. and destroy people.
So now we get, during the middle of the Super Bowl, it's like Cloverfield Paradox.
Out after the game.
And I'm like, shit, I just took NyQuil already. I can't watch
There's so many fucking people that are just watched it immediately. I'm like, I can't devote myself to that.
Well, I was telling Kayla last night.
As soon as I got home.
I was telling Kayla last night, I really want to watch this, but I'll save it for tomorrow, probably. And it's like, again, I'm a really big fan of this franchise.
And this was the working title of God Particle, which we thought was going to be the like World War II one, right?
God Particle was the one on the space station.
What was the other one?
World War II is untitled right now.
Okay. I thought that was
it was God Particle. The God Particle, and then Abrams had the other untitled Abrams project.
Gotcha.
Which, I watched Cloverfield Paradox, and it's interesting. We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about it more in depth.
I'm just excited. Like, I know Abrams didn't actually write this movie, but one of the coolest parts that he does now with marketing, it was like, you didn't know for 10 Cloverfield Lane, you didn't know it was a Cloverfield movie until the last scene where it shows the freaking street sign. Like, I was there opening day, and I'm like, what the fuck? What the fuck? And I'm like, dude, and I'm at this point, I'm just waiting for Abrams to, like, text the world, kind of like you two did. Yeah. It's like, Cloverfield 4, available on your phone through this text message link. And I'm like,
I wouldn't fucking trust that, but... I'm probably going to get porn from watching this. Or a virus.
Cloverfield is porn. What are you talking about? What? Straight mind porn.
What's interesting is the first Cloverfield was like pretty
It was part of shaky camera genre.
Yeah, like, that was one of the biggest criticisms.
I still can't watch it all the way through because the shaky cam gives me motion sickness.
It was an interesting concept of that whole shaky camera genre that was starting to blossom into its own thing, which it's already kind of died out.
Hey, man, we only had like 3 outbreak movies. No, Quarantine was the zombie shape.
3 Quarantines. It was always 4, 5 RACs,
Paranormal Activities.
5 and a spinoff.
What was always interesting about it is this, the whole like monster movie genre of like, all right, well, we're just focusing mostly on the monster fight and just the monster destroying the fucking city. Now with Cloverfield, you see like just fucking average Joes just fucking trying to escape.
Yeah.
Like that was such a unique idea.
And did you guys ever see 10 Cloverfield Lane?
I never got around to it. And it was always on my list to watch.
So like the man in that movie who kidnaps Alison Brie. I think it was.
I'm like, it was Alison Brie.
Also, Overlord Goodman is your World War II one.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay.
The other Alison Brie, Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Kidnapped by John Goodman.
Yeah, John Goodman kidnaps her. It's like, you can't escape. I found you. There are aliens out there. And then the entire movie is her trying to escape. She goes outside. She's like, what the fuck? There's no aliens. And then you just see a fucking UFO drop out from the sky.
Yeah, an alien grabs a truck. She escapes by using a makeshift Molotov cocktail.
What the fuck?
And then apparently like she gets a radio signal. It's like, there's a resistance. We liberated the north of the country. Go there if you want to be safe. If you want to help and you can help, go to Austin. Fuck? We're fighting there. And then she drives to Austin. Is it Houston?
It's Houston.
Texas. As she's driving to Houston, an alien spaceship flies that direction too.
And keep in mind...
Okay. So, when does the first fucking Cloverfield take place then?
They're simultaneous.
What the fuck?
So, John Goodman's character is like a conspiracy nut saying, these aliens have attacked because he wants to keep everyone in that home to act as if they're his family.
Well,
because
there was a little... I don't know if it was ARG or Easter egg or what, but you could find like a company website that he worked for that talked about how he found a breakthrough with communications with satellites they had and was able to get the signal and get communications back online. So it makes sense if he found that aliens were coming. So he built a bunker and is hiding in there. So it's kind of like the beginning of Cloverfield or 10 Cloverfield takes place while Cloverfield is happening. And then the end of it is post-Cloverfield.
Yeah, so like... He tells her that North Korea attacked or something attacked.
Right.
Yeah, it's like China, North Korea.
And everyone is dead.
Martians.
And the air outside is poisonous, so you can't leave this bunker or this house.
Like you have to stay in here for 2 to 3 years. It's like 2 or 3 years while the radioactivity dies down, or you'll die. And she's like, fuck this, I gotta get out.
So yeah, like 10 Cloverfield Lane, we should watch it this weekend. Yeah. Because I think of the
double
two I've
back.
Seen, this one has been my
How
favorite.
How long is Paradox? Is it pretty short? It seems like
it's a little
under short.
2 hours.
Okay. Back to back, double foot. Yeah, we could do it Saturday when I get back.
And again, this movie, like there was an ARG, Tagruto.jp was the website, and even this latest Cloverfield movie had an ARG maybe just last week about like radio signals coming from the spaceship. So it's
Paradox is the prequel to all of it, kind of.
So the original plan was that it was a prequel.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about it because it'll spoil it.
Well, we won't talk about it. Okay. I hit marketing on point where the first line of that trailer was "Stop what you're doing." It was just like, oh, that's fucking brilliant! Like, get everybody's attention for to go watch this now.
Yeah.
Like, spot it worked. On.
Like, Twitter was on fire. Yeah.
Twitter was blown up with
people. Critics took no time to bash it, shockingly, but fuck them, wait, they're wrong.
A sci-fi horror movie got bashed by critics?
No way.
And you'll never guess what the audience reaction was. Mostly positive.
Next, you're going to tell me Rotten Tomatoes just hates it.
I haven't looked. Probably won't.
Their general consensus isn't in, but it's pretty low for critics.
All right. New Infinity War trailer?
Boy, how do you just skip right over Jurassic World 2, homie?
Oh, sorry.
Come on. Come on. The best trailer. The best fucking trailer.
I'm so
excited.
I skipped over like two of them.
I don't see Steve excited about a lot of things to this level.
I fucking love Jurassic Park. You could say The Lost World sucked. You could say 3 sucked. They're awesome. Fucking dinosaurs. Jurassic World 2. More details. New dinosaurs because they didn't fucking learn the first time.
They never
learned. Apparently they made
something.
Life
always finds a way.
They made something worse than the Indominus Rex.
Of course.
Because
they did.
Fucking people. They took the time. They didn't take the time to ask if they should. They just asked if they could. Bastardizing the quote, but that's about it. But, looks so good. Dinosaurs fucking everywhere. The music on point.
They went for the super fucking minor key this time. It's like the first Jurassic World was like, it's pretty somber, kind of minor. And this one's just like, no, we're fucking minor.
Diminished.
We're fucking diminished and minor here.
Oh, but I'm so ready. I can't really say much about it because it's Jurassic Park and Jurassic World. It's dinosaurs. Chris Pratt, Blue the Raptor, fighting another dinosaur. They're working in tandem. People and dinosaurs working together to fight other dinosaurs.
I'm getting like really vague flashbacks.
So what
to
you're
like
saying,
Transformers.
What you're saying is Jeff Goldblum is right. He does find a way.
He finds a way. I'm sad that his part's going to be so minor.
It probably will be. It's going to be.
He even came
it's
out.
Going to be like the.
He's
going to
be in the courtroom the entire time.
Yeah, it's going to be like the Bryan Cranston and Godzilla part where he's in there for like 15 minutes.
He even came out and said that his role isn't big. Like, he has a very small role, which makes me sad, but at the same time, it's Jeff Goldblum.
You can get the Jeff Goldblum pop figure, where he's in the pose. He's in the fucking pose. It's so beautiful.
But I'm gonna be there, probably not opening Friday, because I have to work like a normal person, but Saturday morning, I will be there, ready.
Now Avengers. Oh god, my voice.
Oh man, you're getting worse.
I feel great.
There are so many people after seeing the Avengers trailer who are like, it's got to be Wolverine confirmed, because they take one screen cap of Thanos' face with 3 claw marks right down the side of his face and was like, it's Wolverine! Or Black Panther has claws.
Captain America's new shield.
New shield's got points.
And it's like a gauntlet. Like, it's the cool, like, all right, he has one shield on each arm, and then he can combine them into one big shield.
With these shields combined. I mean, it really didn't show much more than we've already seen.
They're just showing.
They don't need to show anything. They don't need to show anything.
And they've upped the saturation compared to the original trailer.
It was pretty.
Thanos doesn't look as derpy anymore.
He actually looks like purple now.
But everyone's like, he's going to suffer some battle scars, and he's going to wear armor in the next movie.
Or he could just put on armor in this movie. You know, like he's worn every other MCU movie. Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers 1, he had his armor on. Why take it away in
because
the 11th hour?
Because he doesn't need the armor.
It's just like, you know, the MCU has like 2 different incarnations of Thanos. You have the Thanos that's a ripoff of Darkseid, and then you have the Thanos that's the giant mobster. And I think they're going more with the mobster version here.
I think they've kind of gone with that from the start.
Yeah, like Donnie Cates.
Actually, I don't know. Because now that I think about it, the first like few appearances we saw, he was very like throne room, like, I am the leader of all.
He's very overlordy, and then...
Now
Overlord
kind of
is the World War II paradox movie.
Yeah, you said that.
Oh,
it's also an anime. Sick.
It's fucking awesome anime. Also on my list of things I'm watching by myself because it's amazing. And I'm already on season 2.
Anyway. Is that it? Is that all the trailers?
Solo and Castle Rock.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
I want to save Castle Rock because that's an undertaking.
So, Solo, 4 seconds in the trailer, I already paused it. And I'm like, that's the YT-1300 freight crater. What the fuck is it doing looking so clean?
Yeah. He starts the trailer. They flip a couple switches. Pause. No way it looks that clean. But it's a brand new Millennium Falcon. The official Star Wars Twitter even said nothing like that new ship smell, i.e. the Millennium Falcon was just built.
Yeah,
yeah, it's going to be clean.
No, like,
calm your nerd.
Again, it's the whole nerd thing. Like, watching it, it's like, all right,
and there's a few Star Wars key points that I need.
Han Solo has to be an Imperial pilot that betrays the Empire. Cool, check that off from the trailer. Okay, Chewbacca needs to owe him a life debt because that's what eventually breaks him away from the Empire. Okay, we kind of got hints of that. And then we need the game of Sabacc where Han and Lando play cards for ownership of the Millennium Falcon. That has to be like the closing scene.
That will probably be like either the closing scene or like a mid-credit scene.
What if he does the Kessel Run?
That's what everyone's thinking. Like, this is going to be the origin of the Kessel Run in 13 parsecs, which is actually
under
a unit.
Under 12 parsecs.
Yeah, which is a unit of distance, not a unit of time.
Why does everyone use that argument? He's not saying that it took him that much time. He's saying he found a way to do it in the shortest distance possible.
No, like, that's even referenced in the Star Wars comic that people don't understand. It's like, look, I did it because space is a three-dimensional object, and I can travel through it in different ways. So he's, you know, he's the badass smuggler.
Like, I hate when people try to use that argument of, like parsecs are a measure of distance, not time. It's like, yeah, he wasn't saying he did it in a quick time. He said he did it in a quick route.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that this movie is going to be just a heist. Like, that's the only way they could have done a Han Solo movie.
Yeah.
Like, it even has Woody Harrelson, like, I'm putting together a crew. Ah, Ocean Solo.
Like, beyond anything else, like, my favorite comment on Twitter was, like, this makes me more excited than the inevitable Obi-Wan Star Wars story trailer.
I mean,
I'm going to give it a shot.
Like, I'll watch it.
I'm more excited for it now that I've actually seen things coming out of
it. I'm just keeping my expectations low. I'm like, there's some good pieces. It just looks like more Star Wars.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like anything new or breaking the mold. It looks more like Rogue One than anything.
It looks more like a Marvel Disney movie than even Rogue One did.
Yeah.
Do you think the last scene is all going to be like a flashback of Harrison Ford as he's been stabbed through the stomach, falling through Starkiller base? Of like, the good times.
No, it's
going to
be
a rock.
It's going to be his life flashing before his eyes before he pulls the pistol on Greedo.
I shot first.
So the argument once and for all.
They could.
All right, Castle Rock, Steve.
Castle Rock. Looks like, so it's a new Hulu series coming out from the great Stephen King. This one, it doesn't look like it's based on any one story. So just the basic synopsis from the wiki is it is based on the stories of Stephen King, intertwining characters and themes from the fictional town of Castle Rock, which is in Maine, shocking.
And what's Stephen King in Maine?
First off, it's got Bill Skarsgård, Pennywise himself.
His new favorite. Skarsgård is also in another movie on Netflix. It's called Mute. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah. Okay. So the teaser trailer they showed. So, it first got okayed for a 10-episode first season. It is being directed by J.J. Abrams, or produced by J.J. Abrams. And a bunch of others. But J.J. Abrams is the big name that stood out.
Naturally.
And the teaser trailer, just what they showed at the Super Bowl, contains references to the Stephen King novels It, Dolores Claiborne, Needful Things, Salem's Lot, Rita Hayworth and Shawshank Redemption, Dreamcatcher, Night Shift, The Green Mile, Misery, Hearts in Atlantis, The Shining, The Mangler, Four Past Midnight, Different Seasons, Nightmares and Dreamscapes, and The Night Flyer.
Which is weird because The Dead Zone and Cujo, you know, two movies off of your list, actually do take place in Castle Rock, Maine.
No Cujo, just Dead Zone.
Well, no, I'm saying Cujo does take place.
Right.
So do you think this is going to be like,
I think it's going to be a reverse Dark Tower. Of instead of everything hinting at the different stories, this is all of them come together.
Okay. Like, so it's going to be like each episode probably is its own story, and then they slowly hint at like how they each tie together.
I was
going to
say this is probably like the Stephen King anthology universe, because we've seen how popular like Black Mirror is, or Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams right now on Amazon. So it's only natural that we get a horror version of these shows.
Yeah.
And at first I thought it was like a strictly Shawshank story, because they show a newspaper article that says Shawshank.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, cool. But then they start referencing all these other things. I'm like, oh, this goes deeper than I thought.
We just go deeper.
How they're taking all of these Stephen King properties that a lot of, or not a lot of them, but a good chunk of them have been already made into movies and TV shows and miniseries and all of that. It's going to be interesting how they wrap everything together, which I found it funny that they're already talking about It references with Bill Skarsgård in it. It's like, is he going to become Pennywise at some point?
Well, the novel Dr. Sleep, which is a sequel to The Shining, does take place in that city too. So it seems really interesting to see how things do tie together.
Well, yeah, because they directly reference the...
This is
the innkeeper of the
Shining.
This
is like, okay, this is like pretty much the Twilight Zone, but Stephen King.
Yeah, even the narrator of Shawshank Redemption is actually from this same city. So it's really interesting to see how you said it, this trailer pieces everything together.
But sounds neat. Yeah, it doesn't come out till August, I think. But it just looks like it's going to be a very intricate and interesting series. Which I always love Stephen King stuff, and to see them all finally be like...
It's like the perfect time for his like super meta parts of his works to just like thrive, because everybody's like obsessed with that kind of stuff.
Every movie and that has come out from that has mentioned another movie in some capacity. Like, it mentions the innkeeper in Misery, or not Misery, The Shining... directly.
And doesn't it like reference 11/22/63 as well?
No, the reverse. 11/22/63 mentions the disappearances of Deary.
And then I think they talk about The Shining directly in it, like the psychic abilities of The Shining.
It all connects to the God Turtle, the Deadlights, and everything else.
It's insane.
I'm pumped for it.
It's a new level of meta.
Stephen King's a genius, yo. Even during, like, when he used to pound, like, 12 six-packs a day.
And do copious amounts of cocaine.
Like, he...
Which is documented. He is admitted did so much cocaine.
He doesn't remember writing Cujo.
The main reason he did that is because he got scared that his works would never come out. Mm-hmm. Because he had a whole plan from the very beginning of writing his novels of there's going to be a series of novels, like probably the Dark Tower ones, that... finally connect everything and all the plots of his books will come together. But then he got hit by a car one day and thought...
Which is the book series, or the book...
Carrie? No, not Carrie.
It's the one with the caretaker. Like, Family Guy did a parody of it.
I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, important. He got hit by a car and was afraid that he would die before...
He would finish
his works
story.
Came out, so he just kind of started pounding out books.
Yeah, and I think he also, like, it's that... if you keep just doing something, like you just keep it in practice, like why stop?
I agree. So. He's like, him and Brandon Sanderson are just monsters of writing and craft. Like,
Stephen King slowed down recently, but
that's because he's got Dark Tower done. It's like, I can take a breath.
Yeah.
He's the only signature I'm missing from my American Vampire issue one.
Because God, I forgot he was a part of that.
He wrote the backups for the first volume. Cool. And I'll never get a signature because he doesn't contour.
Nope.
He doesn't contour?
He doesn't go tour with conventions.
Does he do his eyelashes at least?
Yeah.
Maybe put some foundation on.
I had a professor that said he was friends with him in college. Like, they would go up to Estes every so often and just chat at a coffee shop. This professor is also a wizard, so I have no idea. You've met him, Doctor. Nah, I'm not gonna say it, but like, he looked like he was an amateur wizard too. Like, he was a magician and he was also a priest.
Did he practice alchemy?
Dude, I have no idea.
He was not Alan Moore.
He didn't practice the law of
Again, I don't know. He maybe did cast black magic in his free time.
Yeah. So speaking of new and exciting things, DC announced a bunch of shit most recently with Brian Michael Bendis with Forbes.
Yep, so they announced his first DC series after his story.
Two one-shots.
Yeah, his Action Comics debut. He's doing a limited series called Superman Man of Steel, right?
Yep.
6-issue miniseries.
And each issue is done by a different artist.
Yeah, and then it's and people are kind of speculating that he might be doing Action and he might be taking over Action and Superman.
Yeah, he's taking over both titles. And he's also doing... I think so. He's also doing a one-shot called DC Nation Number Zero, which is kind of like setting the tone for everything that's happening after Doomsday Clock. So both Dan Jurgens and Peter Tomasi are going to be officially off. I think Action Comics is also rebooting with the new Number One just because they hit 1,000. But in Bendis's point of view, Action Comics is supposed to be this, like, it's the heavy lifting Superman action stuff. And then Superman is supposed to be a main focus on Clark, Lois, and John as a family and a core unit.
Them, at least.
Yeah.
I think people would riot it at this point.
Yeah.
It seems like everybody just loves this version of Superman.
Super Dad is best dad. And,
it's pretty big that they're giving Bendis one of DC's flagship titles.
Two of them.
Yeah. It's like fucking insane. It's like, hey, we brought you in, now get to fucking work.
Yeah, it's the same that, like, on Twitter, Snyder posted a picture of him and Bendis together in the DC office and said, possible collaboration coming soon, ? And I'm like, all right, you just made me, like, soil myself. Like, those are the two things you could have ever said to go, like, instagasm.
Yep. Yeah, and that, what was it? I want to say it was, I don't think it was Midtown, but somebody responded to one of Tom King's tweets of, after Peter J. Tomasi announced that he was leaving Action.
Right.
Or leaving those
books. He's on Superman.
that someone has to write that Legion of Superheroes book. So it's like, are you toying with us, or is this a low-key confirmation of what he's doing next?
Yeah, that's a Big Bang Comics that replied to Tom King.
I knew it was some comic shop.
Tom just said, I can't comment much, but Pete is one of my favorite writers, and I know what he's doing next, and it's perfect. So I'm just sitting there, I'm like, okay, either Legion, Shazam, or some other long-lost title. Because, like, with Doomsday Clock, it's slowly ramping up the... clock for JSA coming back. We also know that once Justice League No Justice comes out, Titans and Teen Titans as we know it are going to change books too.
Yeah, which we actually know what's happening with this now.
Do we?
Yes.
I didn't hear about these.
At least I'm pretty sure. So kind of going from that, DC announced today two new imprints called DC Inc. and DC Zoom.
Ooh.
They're bringing in a lot of young adult-focused, like, writers to do these books, and that's kind of where they're focusing is just young adult comics.
I think
there's a lot.
Mariko Tomika, she wrote the One Long Summer, I think. She's going to be writing a title. I think she's writing the Harley Quinn title.
So I'm going to go down everything. Okay. So you have Batman Gotham High by Melissa De La Cruz. She's done a lot. Alex and Eliza, Blue Bloods, Witches of East End. Don't know any of those. Batman Nightwalker, which is a graphic novel by Mary Lou. Did the Legend series. Teen Titans by Kami Garcia.
Fucking Legend series is so good.
Teen Titans from Kami Garcia, who did the Beautiful Creatures series.
Beautiful Creatures is pretty good, too.
Under the Moon, A Catwoman Tale, Lauren Miracle? Yeah. Miracle, who did Internet Girls series, and Kissing Kate. I feel like I heard of Internet Girl. You got Wonder Woman, Tempest Toss by Laurie Hassel Anderson, Speak in Chains. So DC Inc.'s more for the young adult line, and then DC Zoom's for more middle school focus stuff.
Oh, that's me.
Yes. Yeah, these are all comic book lines as well. So, for DC Zoom, you got Batman Tales, Once Upon a Crime, writer and artist Derek Friedels and Dustin Nguyen.
Whoa! They're my favorite.
Yep. You got Batman Overdrive from Shea Fontana, who is currently doing DC Superhero Girls. You got Black Canary Ignite by Meg Cabot, the Princess Diary series. Oh, that's neat. Dear Justice League from Michael Northrup from Tomb Quest series.
Pretty good series.
Green Lantern Legacy from Min Lee. I probably mispronounced that. There's some weird accent on it. From Drawn Together. Oh my god, they did fucking Drawn Together. If that's the same Drawn Together I think of. Oh god.
I don't think it's the Comedy Central one.
I have pray to god it's not. Super Sons. So Super Sons is apparently moving into this. And Ridley Pearson of the Kingdom Keeper series is taking that. Then you got Superman of Smallville, writer and artist Art Balthazar and Franco from Tiny Titans. Then the last one is Superman Smashes the Clan from Gene Luen Yang.
That's the one I was waiting for. It's like, I know they announced it, but I can't remember which line it was on. Like, oh, they're just going right to Superman destroying the KKK.
Well, do you know the story behind that? There's actually a documentary coming out about this. About how in the 1939, Kellogg's, the cereal company, did an advertisement thing with DC where Superman had to stop this. They weren't the KKK, but they used the KKK secret phrases and everything to expose them. And it was used as a radio drama. And the KKK got really upset and tried to sue. And they failed in the lawsuit with Kellogg's. Because, I mean, come on, dude. You got that Tony Tiger money. Just can't even do it. But Gene Luen Yang on that title, I can't think of anyone better to do a more heartfelt, no bullying, like, this is what it means to be a true superhero person than Gene Luen Yang.
Well, it's like that old, fuck the KKK.
It's like that old school Superman poster of, like, doesn't matter what background you come from or, like, who you are as a person. I can't even remember the fucking quote, but it's like,
it doesn't matter your race, religion, order, whatever. We're all
Americans.
Yeah.
But yeah, all these titles are going to release in fall. So, but I mean, that's cool. But now we know where some of those books are going. And that makes sense for a lot of them, like Teen Titans and Super Sons, kind of like more focusing towards the younger audiences. And they're getting a lot of actually people right in that genre. So,
and it makes me wonder if they're going to be two separate things. Like, I know one big problem during the Young Justice era, when we had the TV show and comic going out,
it was like nobody knew the comic existed.
Yeah, it wasn't advertised. So this being advertised under a new imprint would really
make sense that they
popularize
would, they would heavily advertise this, like, especially towards younger audiences.
Yeah, and even Snyder was like, look, you guys want new heroes? Look at Ms. Marvel. Look at this character and this character. People buy these titles. People support these characters. So if you really want to see these characters continue to be used and be drawn, you need to support them. And my one thing is, I hope Teen Titans as well as Super Sons still exist as a separate entity, because
it kind of sounds like they're not going to now.
I don't know. But if they cancel the current Super Sons title, I think people are going to riot, because Tomasi and George Jimenez are doing such a great job showcasing Damian and showcasing John. Because, man, freaking Christopher Priest, he said to prepare for Lazarus' contract, he only read, like, the Grant Morrison, Damian Wayne. And I'm like, so you didn't read anything where he got any character development at all? He was like, yeah, like, to write Teen Titans.
No fucking wonder Damian was such a punk ass again.
Yeah, and he's like, to prepare for writing Teen Titans, I read the New 52 Teen Titans. And I'm like, yo,
bro,
you read
some of the worst. Well, okay, Grant Morrison's not the worst, but the worst characterizations of those characters, arguably.
Pretty much. So it's kind of a punk move, and I'm excited. I'll probably pick these up just to have them in my classroom.
I mean, yeah, it's good for you.
Yeah,
like, and just as an example or things to get people or younger audiences into comics.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, I pimp out Dustin Nguyen constantly and Frederick or Derek Friolis every time there's a Scholastic Book Fair, because they sell Little Gotham, they sell the Superhero Secret Society books.
So precious.
Yeah, and it's like, you guys need to read this. Like, superheroes aren't just for, like, giant nerds. They teach you valuable lessons. Mm-hmm. Like, you should stop talking when your voice is going away.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you'll find out. We'll find out probably closer to fall when solicits come out, if Super Sons and Team Tens are just completely shifting into this, or if it's their own series.
Yeah, and even actually, there's like speculative rumors right now that Tynan is leaving Detective, and Tomasi supposedly taking over, and that's actually a fair trade I would accept.
I'll be curious to see if he moves it into more actual Detective stuff.
And that's what Tomasi's good at. Like, he wrote like, the new 52 Detective.
Nothing against Tynan. Like, I've loved the story that he's done, but it is not a detective story. It is a fucking action story, if anything.
And, like, I love Tynan. He's one of my favorite writers. He writes a really good Clayface, a really good Kate, a really good Tim, but his Steph is so unbearable to me.
Yeah, she's very bleh.
And that's reading Brian Q. Miller's stuff as my first introduction.
And I prefer Marguerite Bennett's Kate over Tynan's Kate, of where she falls into the darkness. I'm just like, no, come on.
Yeah, that's one of your characters too. It's like, please,
Kate wouldn't do this. She's better than this now.
You should ask.
He does. His cast, though, is great. I fucking love his cast.
Ask him questions at DCC.
It's like, can you see where is the cast solo series?
Just take all of your detective and be like, I have questions.
Let me hand out my notebook. Sir, when is Cass going to meet Barbara? That's the biggest thing. Yeah. Barbara taught her how to read. She taught her how to speak.
We've seen her in the fucking room together.
They've been in a panel together. Just one.
Where is it?
Do you have any questions not about Barbara? Hold on. Hold on.
Let me get to my binder marked Barbara.
But it's really cool that they're focusing on other heroes too, because one of the promo images is a teenage Shazam freaking Simon Baz and Hawkgirl. And I'm like, these characters are so B-list. Even Simon's super popular now, but that's only because of like the super B-list. Great writers. And it's like, Geoff Johns created Simon. It's like, okay, I'm gone now. He creates Jessica. Okay, I'm gone now. Someone else play with these characters. And then Humphreys is like, I got you.
And then Tim Seeley is like, I got you.
I'm like, oh, those look cool.
And it's like, and it's so important. It's a representation. Like, I was in my counselor's office. She has a bunch of pictures that kids draw. And I'm looking, I'm like, oh, shit, this kid drew Miles Morales. And she's like, what? I'm like, yeah, the black Spider-Man. He's actually half black, half Latino. And she's like, oh, a lot of the younger kids didn't know that. They just kept telling me that Spider-Man can't be black. I'm like, bullshit. I actually said that to her.
Then play the black Spider-Man song.
Yeah. I'm like, here's Miles Morales. Here's the first trade. You can show the kids this. And she's like, oh, wow, this is so cool. I'm like, yeah, comics are cool, yo. Like, all two of the Asian characters in DC right now, Ryan Choi and Cass, motherfucker, what?
There's also the Chinese Justice League.
Yeah.
Justice League of China, yeah.
Also really awesome. I'm just going, like, my OG people. Anyways, I think that's a really good point to end.
Yeah, before your voice just fully gives
out. I don't know what you're talking about.
Why do you think I stopped talking that much after my segment?
I've been fine. I'm so good here. As always, this has been a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
If you love us.
God, I feel so weird doing this now. I never do this.
You're staring at me.
I'm like, am I going to mess it up? Am I going to say something wrong?
You're doing good, God.
We're three, sometimes four best friends gather around this table.
Give us a like on Facebook.
There you go.
Follow us on Twitter.
Good.
Let us know what you think of the show by going to z2podcast.com/comment or just, you know, sending us a message on Twitter, Facebook, or the like.
And we have some really cool stuff coming out.
Yes. And be sure to review us, please. Just say a few words, what you like, what you don't like. We will read them. Yes.
What do we got coming up?
We got Joe, what he's calling Joe Valen's Day.
Yeah. Valentine's Day. Valen-Tine's Day.
Oh, okay. I didn't know yet. When he first approached the idea, he's just like, let's just call it Joe Valen's Day. But that makes more sense.
And we like Joe. He's really fun to talk to.
Yes. I'm going to the Overwatch League this weekend, so I'll have my thoughts on that on Sunday.
What are we getting close to?
Our 100th episode's next week.
And what else?
And our 2-year anniversary.
We've been doing this for 2 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
I need to get streamer or like one of the things. I can't remember what they're called.
See, the thing is, if you buy those, you have to hide them. Because in the middle of the day, you know I'm going to take one and just pop it in your room. You just see a hand stick out.
Not those. The
party favors?
Yeah.
But you know how quietly I walk.
Yes.
I'm going to go up behind you and just hit you in the back of the neck.
That's one of the things I love about when I don't walk with shoes on. I am silent.
Yeah, I didn't hear you. I didn't hear fucking him come down the stairs last time. I was like, huh, when did you get here?
I walk on my toes when I don't have shoes on. I'm like a ninja.
All right.
Anyway, goodbye, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Love you, Internet.
And praise that doesn't die.
Yeah.
Time to go drink some apple cider vinegar.
Filet.